So I'm going to talk to you about what we've been doing with our work group activity. And what WFPHA has done is, I think, revolutionary in the way that we're not looking at the different national problems, and we're taking a global outlook on things. And I think that this is the next phase for public health. I mean, not just talking about global public health the way that people have been talking so far, but taking it to a different level of global public health. But let me show you what it's all about. Conflicts of interest, none I could think of. Anyone else could find, so I assume that there are none. Okay, I'll give you your take-home message. I mean, what I consider that should be your take-home message. And if it's not clear now, it'll be clearer as the presentation progresses, hopefully. First, we need a globally accepted public health functions framework. The second message is that professional competencies should be aligned to accomplish the public health system's functions. And the third message is that these professional competencies need to be established on the basis of a dialogue between the training entities, on the one hand, the academia, and on the other hand, the employing agencies who know what they require from public health professionals. And the third element, which may be the most crucial of all, is the public health professionals themselves. Because as public health professionals, over the period of employment and even beyond the period of employment in the field of public health, you understand both what your needs are in terms of doing well, and both where your fallacies, and also where your fallacies lie in terms of where you might have felt incompetent and not up to what was expected of you. And the question is, the final question that I want to put out, and this is the problem, and I mean, are we looking at something that is beyond the scope of our reach? Is it some kind of a holy grail? If I had believed that, then I would not have chaired that group. I think that it is not a holy grail. I think that it is something that is achievable. But now let's talk a little bit about what public health is. Public health, first of all, we're talking about a domain that is fragmented, and we have several elements that cause that fragmentation, what I call the fragmentation of public health. It is multidisciplinary. There are various programs within public health. Of course, the obvious differences between nations and countries, and the plentitude of stakeholders who are involved in the field of public health. All these cause a fragmentation. And the effect on public health is there's no agreement on what public health is. And we can look at, you know, when you ask what is public health, and actually what I've done is I've Googled up what is public health. Okay, try Googling that up. What is public health? And you will find out that when we're talking about public health, you get different types of concepts. The first concept, which is, I mean, outside of this room, outside of this hall where we're having our conference, if you step up to a person in the street and you say, what is public health? Oh, you say, this is governmental health. This is what government provides for the people. Well, not so much in the U.S., perhaps, but in any other country across the world, when you walk up to somebody and say, what is public health? It says, this is what the government provides. This is the government-based, government-funded healthcare. On the other hand, of course, there is the definition, the classic Wikipedia definition, the one that we've been taught, definition of public health. And I've read that, you know, the science and art of preventing disease, prolonging life, and promoting health through the organized efforts and informed choices of society, organizations, public and private communities, and individuals. And I've taken up another definition. I've looked up the definition of medicine. Do you know what the definition of medicine is? The science or practice of the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of disease. Okay, now on the one hand, the description of medicine sounds like a description. What we have for public health is not a description. It's a mission statement. Okay? So, there's a problem in that as well. Another question is, what are the limits of public health, okay? Does public health encompass medicine, or is it a part of medicine? How do we view it? And I think that with a lot of the physicians, it might be a problem. I mean, once again, the physicians outside this conference hall step up to a surgeon and ask him what is public health, and say, oh, it's a field within medicine. Okay, so not everybody sees public health as beyond, larger than medicine. I keep losing the mouse. Okay. The second thing that people disagree on is what public health does. And they keep popping up different times. So is public health a set of different programs? TB control, AIDS control, maternal and child health care. Are these, you know, these different programs, are these what public health is composed of, or is public health something beyond these programs? Does it focus on health behavior? A lot of people say that public health focuses on health behavior. And is it disease specific? Is it discipline specific? Public health nurses, public health physicians, public health educators, do they each have their own type of public health? Or is there some kind of mutual ground or an all-encompassing system beyond that? And of course, the question that popped up, which shouldn't have come, but the final question is, European public health compared to American public health, compared to Middle Eastern health, compared to African health, compared to Asian health, are these the same type of public health? There will be some answers, hopefully. Another issue with the fragmentation and the effect of fragmentation on public health is that there is no agreement on the effectiveness of public health. Now, this might sound a little bit strange, but we know vaccines are effective, okay? This is, I mean, historically the best proven intervention of public health. We have screening programs that are cost-effective, but if, once again, if you look up scholarly articles on public health effectiveness, there have been quite a few articles over the last period, over the last few years, saying that we either don't have enough. I mean, when we compare the studies that we have on public health programs, public health interventions effectiveness to what medicine uses, which is the randomized controlled trials, we don't have that equivalent for a lot of our interventions. So the question can be posed, should we be using more randomized controlled trials? Is that feasible? A lot of people in public health said, no, it isn't feasible, but maybe it is. On the other hand, maybe there are other methodologies which we should be applying rather than these randomized controlled trials. Whatever the choice we make, at this point in time, there are still a lot of those interventions which are not sufficiently effective or sufficiently proven to be effective. And the last issue is with where is public health going? Is there an overreaching direction to public health, to the public health systems? One of the symptoms, and I think that in the US case and in many Western countries over the last period of time undergoing the current economic crisis, it has been shown once again that the growth and shrinkage of the workforce in public health and the programs goes according to political or economic agenda. And one of the landmark articles that influenced me to get into the essential public health functions concept was an article published in Health Affairs in the wake of 9/11, describing the history of public health in the U.S. and saying that the time has come to evolve to a point where public health is not a matter of a social of a political agenda. There should be some well-defined elements within public health that can withstand any kind of constraint, both economic. I mean, take a hospital. In an economic crisis, most hospitals would not close off wards. I mean, there would be no question of closing down a ward in a hospital, but there is a question of, there's the possibility of closing down a program when the economy is bad in public health. And is that reasonable? A further issue is, and I think this is the major issue and the point that I'm going to make as we progress, the lack of a common vocabulary in public health is prohibitive for coordinated global efforts. We've shown that with the use of the term public health in itself, but it goes beyond that. We don't yet have that common vocabulary. And then there is the question of, are there too many organizations in public health? Well, I can see that this is an older version. I've changed this presentation a bit last night, but I didn't upload the latest version, because the question is not if the field is not sufficiently regulated. It's not about regulation. Is the field not sufficiently coherent? Are we not being coherent? And this is why all my slides are a bit messed up. And the public health professionals element, the fragmentation of public health and all these issues that we've seen that there is lack of agreement upon, all these reflect upon the public health professionals. Because with the public health professionals, we have a wide array of professionals trained in very diverse environments and disciplines, employed by a plethora of governmental and non-governmental agencies. And in that type of an environment, what do we expect them? How can we train them to be effective? Bear in mind the fact that people in public health may transition from one organization to another organization, from one country to another country. And if they've been trained in an environment-specific situation, in an organizational-specific situation, are they transferable? I mean, can they really make that transition to a different environment? And obviously, the question that leads to the whole issue of competencies is, what does it take to be an effective public health professional? Okay, and now we're going from the individual to the system, looking at going from the individual to the system. A basic assumption is that competent individuals will enable achievement of system-wide goals. If we have a competent workforce, then that competent workforce will help us achieve the goals of the system. And if you have a systems approach, then you can, you know, it goes back and forth. The competent individuals will allow the system to accomplish the goals. A coherent system, a systems approach, will allow planning and training of individuals who will be effective for the various needs of the organizations and the system. And if we look at the system level, there have been previous attempts at defining the scope of public health. We'll show some of them. There have been attempts in defining what the boundaries of the system are and defining what it does. And we'll be looking at public health essential functions, which is one, I think, public health essential functions is one of the major influential frameworks at the moment within public health and the system's approach to public health. And there have been several ways of looking at public health essential functions. The definition for the public health essential functions, as you can read it, it's the set of actions that is the responsibility for achieving the goals of public health. And there's a description of what they contain. These set of fundamental actions address the determinants of health. They maintain and protect the population health through the organized efforts of society. Three key elements within the public health essential functions are that they, first of all, they represent public goods. They also allow you to achieve what the governments define as the achievable goals of public health. You do not doesn't mean necessarily that government has to provide all these functions. Okay, these functions can be provided by the system. We're looking at a system, after all. Government is just one of the players, perhaps the major player, but it's just one of the players within the public health system. And this is what you always, I assume most of the people here know what is called the jelly bean diagram, and it does look like jelly beans. The jelly bean diagram is here to show just how complex the system is. Question is what the system does. When we look at a system, any type of system, according to the system's models, well, a system processes inputs, it puts out the outputs and the outcomes, especially if we're talking about a medical system. And on the basis of a system that is functioning, we can define what the expected goals of the system are. And if we look at the different expectations from these models, and we said that public health essential functions, the 10 public health essential functions, is just one example of the possible models. So I'll just briefly go over some other possible alternatives. There is the PAHO, WHO model. There's the WHO from the Western Pacific Region model. There's the US model, the UK model, the Canadian model, and I think the Australian model, and I think that about covers it. Other countries as well. Okay. This model is the model from PAHO. The major difference between the PAHO model, which is essentially based on the US model, is that it has been adapted to a one-level system. As you know, the US model is a several layered models, because there is the local level, there's the state level, and there's the federal level. In a lot of the other countries around the globe, it doesn't function at three levels. It just functions as a one national level, even with divisions for local levels, but still it's considered a one level system. And this has been adapted to a one level system. You get 11 essential functions instead of 10, but basically very similar. And this is, I'm frustrated by the fact that this is not the version, the latest version, and a lot of the pizzazz that I had in the latest version just didn't upload it. Okay, we get the Australian model, which is called the Public Health Core Functions, which is the, I mean, if you follow up on the models, and the first element in the US model was the monitoring of health, and so here we have the assessment, the analysis. The second element in the U.S. system was the prevention, the control, and you get that as well. It's a bit more liberal with words. I mean, uses more words than the U.S. public health essential functions, but basically they will all come and cover the same elements. And this is the point. The Canadian model is more sparse in the fact that it only goes to four elements, which are the population health assessment, which can cover both, you know, it reflects both the monitoring and the surveillance. Health surveillance, health promotion, and disease and injury prevention. What it doesn't contain is health and health protection. It did not contain the workforce development element per se and the research. Then we have the Estonian model, which is called the Essential Public Health Operations. And you can see it has quite a lot of the same elements: the surveillance, the identification of the health problems, the disease prevention, the health promotion, and evaluation of quality and effectiveness. Of course, leadership and government. And workforce and research. We move on to the WHO model, which once again is very similar to the Estonian model. And we take, let's say, just four four of those models and put them all together, you know, sort of what I call the compare and conquer. It's not, instead of dividing up and conquering, instead of having the different types of systems, if we just look at those systems, you can see where they are very similar. There's so much similarity that basically what it comes down to, what it boils down to, is the question whether all these models can be integrated. And some of the models have been adopted to varying degrees. The US model is quite widely adopted within the US. And it has gone beyond that. It has gone to the phase where off of the model of the public health essential services, there is a whole set of public health performance standards, which is based on the public health essential services. And the U.S. system has had a lot of assessment methodologies that stem off the essential public health functions, the essential public health services. Other countries might have adopted them and conducted some assessments based on the models to varying degrees. There are problems in the adoption, and the problems in the adoption is that they are so diverse. So you have a choice. You have to choose something that fits your country. Although they would all probably fit, there is fear from adoption based on the fact that adopting a model, one of the essential public health functions model, will impact your system. If you're serious about looking at your system, then using one of these models will make you change your system, will make you change the resource allocation, if you're serious about adopting it, if there is commitment to adoption. And obviously, I'm going to move to the assessment that we did with the World Federation. And we asked our members, we asked the representatives of the national associations. So we had a wide variety of countries responding to that question, is how much is any type of essential public health functions, and I'm using the essential public health functions term, although it can be the public health operations or the public health services, how much have you actually applied that type of a model within your local environment, within your country? And obviously the response was, it was much more no's, nays than yays to that question. And, a public health system is complex, but if we take the public health system in Israel, for example, and we took the jelly bean model and we said, okay, is there anything that doesn't really translate to the Israeli environment? Well, the answer is no. Everything can translate to the Israeli environment. The public health system is the same. I mean, wherever you look, there might be some slight modifications, but the public health system, which goes way beyond the medical system and looks at actually a lot of the services that are being provided by government, NGOs, and other entities who each has an effect on what we would call health. So the public health system is quite similar across the different countries. And tying in, and this is the point where I'm going to close up the loop and move the presentation to WAMSI, is that it's a systems approach as well when you look at the public health education and training. And we're looking here at a model of that is based on the essential public health functions. And you have the three elements which I've mentioned previously, which is the training agencies, the employing agencies, and the workforce itself. And they're all interacting. They should all be interacting in order to provide these competencies which will be aligned with the essential public health functions to assure that the competent workforce can deliver the public health essential functions. There's another model that you can look up and you can see the components, and I mean, we all love our models. And this is what it boils down to. Okay, this is going to be my final slide. We're looking at individual level, we're looking at organizational level, systems or community, and national. And everything has to be aligned with an essential public health functions system, an essential public health functions framework of thought. And at each level, you will be able to do an assessment to see whether you have the competent individual by training them and assessing their competencies, doing the accreditation for the organization. And I know it resonates with people in the U.S. who have been involved with FAB and all kinds of other assessment programs. And at the system community level, you can look at public health performance standards, perhaps. Once again, this is more U.S. Concept. And the national level, you choose the framework of assessment. Each country should be able, each nation should be able to choose their own framework of assessment for the performance of the public health system. But we should all be agreeing on using some set of public health essential functions that can be comparable. And this is why we advocate for one global public health essential functions framework that is flexible enough to be slightly modified and applied in each environment, but will allow us to have one vocabulary. And once again, regretting that this was not the final presentation, Wittgenstein, the philosopher, said that the limits of our language are the limits of our world. And if we do not adopt one model, then we're basically each talking in a different language. And that would be very limiting to us. Thank you very much. Thank you.